recording right now, and I'm recording, so.
Fa la 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 la.
3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Rough Fish Registry.
How's it going, guys?
Man, it is a rainy Saturday morning.
Yes, it is. I'm sitting out here looking out my front window of my house and hoping a coyote or something runs by so I can jump out there and crack a shot off at it. Maybe take a pause, take a quick break in the show.
Yeah, yeah. If there's an interruption at any point, that's probably what's happening.
Yep. And no matter what they say, I did hit it. If yeah.
It's true. 672 yards.
Yep.
You heard it here first.
So we got a cool guy here today.
If you say so.
Well, yeah. You know, he's got the lucky horseshoe. I will, him and his brother.
That is a fact.
They must have something on their boat that brings them good luck. Because last year they shot a 95.5-pound golden big head on Lake of the Ozarks. And then this year he signed up for the Muzzy tournament and brought home the Oneida Phoenix bow. So I'm hoping some of that luck rubs off on us today. We have got James Scroggins, a.k.a. the Ginge. And
Ginger Beard,
yeah. How's it going?
Not bad. Thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, yeah. We're excited to talk a little bow fishing, dive into how you killed that big fish and the exact GPS coordinates of it.
Mm-hmm.
And
we'll share those later.
Yep. We'll put those in our show notes and just talk about bow fishing in general. So
Yeah. So kind of the introduction for everybody. So when did you start bow fishing?
It's been 6 or 7 years ago. Started with my uncle.
Okay. All right. 6 or 7 years. So longer than me for sure.
Were you shooting tournaments back then, or was it just kind of...
First year is just kind of for fun. Then second year, we kind of bought a new boat and dove in. Fished out it for 3 or 4 years, and then built our new one and went in head first.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how long have you been... So there's a tournament series around here called the Batson Archery. It's just Batson Dog and Archery. It's a bow shop, trapping shop. They got about everything. And they put on a tournament series. And that's where I originally met James and his brother at. And so how long have you been shooting those tournaments?
I think this will be our sixth year shooting them.
6 year. That's awesome. A lot longer than me. That's why you beat me every time.
That's all. Well, I will do a quick update. Chase lit every candle in his house, so I just got a comment on how it smells in here. It's just delicious.
Well,
sugar cookies and
yeah,
the whole nine yards.
My wife is she's in Branson with our two boys, and I'm home with a little girl. And I told her what we were doing this morning, and she said, "Make sure you pick the house up and light the candles before they get there." So I did what I was told.
Checking in. You did a great job.
I think
I just wanted to make it known that, you know, you did what your wife asked you to do.
Yeah, it smells smells great in here.
Proud of you. It's good stuff.
Yeah, it's choking me up.
All right. So what's next? What are we talking about? We're talking about the Goldberg?
Yes, let's just dive right into that. So there is two fish on Lake of the Ozarks. I did not know about these fish until I was told.
They're kind of the cult classic, you know. I mean, people have kind of, if two fish have their own name, like people have seen them and named them,
mm-hmm.
that's a little different than, you know, what we normally run up against. That's kind of special, almost Bigfoot status, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, right there with Bigfoot.
So I remember the day that you posted the picture, all these people were like commenting, "Is that Goldberg?" And they're like, "Oh yeah, that is for sure." And then I remember somebody saying, "Hey, was the black one there?" And I don't know, the black one has like, I mean, what do they call the black one?
Some people call him Goliath, some call him Blackie.
So how does he rate compared to Goldberg?
From what everybody says, he's 20 to 25 pounds bigger than Goldberg.
And the fish we are talking about was 95 and a half pounds.
Yeah. And they hang out together, right? Or normally were somewhere close by each other.
Normally when they were seen together.
So Goliath has a broken heart. Apparently.
Yeah. He's probably a swimmer.
He's depressed, for sure.
He may
commit
suicide and just swim to the dam. But so these, I just had a brain fart. I don't even remember what the heck I was going to say. I had some good point that
this is a bow fishing podcast, so usually we're, you know, talking about either fish or equipment. So
it was a nice segue into something.
Oh, okay, all right,
yeah,
all right.
And I've completely.
Okay,
I got you. So the big deal with this fish is it was killed on Lake of the Ozarks. Now, for the people not from around here, Lake of the Ozarks has grass carp, common carp, buffalo, and gar. No big heads, no silvers. So these could possibly be the only, but the state record big head.
Missouri Department of Conservation.
The Missouri Department of Conservation record big head also came off Lake of the Ozarks.
But they claim there aren't any on the lake. Is that correct?
Yes. Mm. I think they're there, but I don't think they're breeding, maybe, is what it is, because I have never seen a small big head on Lake of the Ozarks.
So they're sterile, maybe put in place.
They're the originals from when the lake flooded, is what everybody says.
Okay.
There's not enough current in Lake of the Ozarks for them to breed. So what's in there, and they're just getting bigger and bigger.
So when we say the lake flooded, is that like when they dammed it up?
Yeah, when they dammed it, and when the Mississippi and all them and all the big rivers around here flooded it, they come out of Arkansas. And ended up in there right before they dammed it.
Interesting.
So let's see here. I'm looking up.
It's like a good urban legend story for an urban legend story fish.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking up the date Lake of the Ozarks was built. Let's see here. Blah, blah, blah.
So had you had any prior history or ever saw this fish before?
First time I'd ever seen him.
First time you ever seen him. Had you heard about...
I've heard stories over the last 5 or 6 years of fishing about him. There's only been a handful of people that have ever actually got to see him, and it's either when they scouting or had a fish on or just out too far to shoot.
Mm.
Nobody's ever been lucky enough to get it close.
So it was built in 1931. So them fish have had to be introduced some other way.
Yeah, had to be.
Come out of another river or something, because, I mean... I'm not a fish biologist by any means, but that'd be an old papa.
Yes, that'd be 86 years old.
I mean, it'd probably have to be to be that size.
Yeah. I don't know.
It'd have to be old for sure. I mean, 20 to 30. I would bet around 20 to 30 years, but again, we're not fish biologists.
Yeah.
We're just rednecks.
I mean, I'm gonna say he was, by looking at him and size of his eyes, I'm going to say 37 and a half years old.
Yeah, I sexed him from the picture. I guessed him around 22 and a half.
You know, if you were a real bow fisherman trying to shoot mature fish, you'd have gave him another year.
Yeah.
He'd have been a real stud next year.
He wasn't getting lucky enough to go for another year.
That's right. So when you said people had seen him scouting for tournaments... Is that something that that you want to talk about?
I mean, it is what it is.
So there's a tournament on Lake of the Ozarks and Truman called the Iron Man. It's a 24-hour tournament, 8 to 8. And James and another gentleman were scouting 2 days prior. And there were supposed to be no bows in the boat. And he saw this fish... And which I would have done too, and shot it and got disqualified from the Iron Man. So we'll just get that out there. I would have done the same thing. I'm not going to lie. I'd have jumped in after it or speared it or karate chopped it or something if I didn't have a bow.
I don't think there's any bow fishermen that wouldn't have shot that fish when they seen it that night.
No way.
No, there's not. I mean, everybody I talked to is like, oh, yeah, I'd have done the same thing. No question.
Yeah, and based on history and knowing everybody around here, it's not one of those things where it's like, well, they were trying to fill the boat up for 3 nights later. I mean, nobody had any thought process.
Didn't you have a
like
guy
that.
With you that wasn't even shooting the tournament? You just had him out
Yeah,
for
I just had one of my buddies go with me to help just go fish with me that night.
So was your brother with you?
Nope.
No, it was just you and another guy.
Yep, yeah, my brother's never been with me when I've shot either of my big fish.
Hmm.
What's your next biggest fish from that one?
6311 grass carp.
Stud.
Shot it the first year I started bow fishing.
Mm. Are you mounting this one?
Yep.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So if you don't want to tell, that's fine. But what's a mount like that cost?
About $800.
Woo! But yeah. Totally worth it.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, yeah. It's a fish of a lifetime. I'll never...
Well, and even if it was just a regular big head, that'd be awesome, but...
Being albino just makes it that much gold. Better.
I mean, it's, you know, probably one of the rarest fish that'll come out for a long time.
Oh, yeah. You see, what, like one killed a year or something like that?
Yeah.
And none ever that size.
Yeah, I saw, is it Marshall Bryant? He does all the guides and runs his airboat tours and stuff in
Texas.
Yeah. And I saw a video he posted live two or three nights ago. A bunch of people shared, and it was just a big gold common in the video. And they, you know, it just looked like 10, 15 pounds, but everybody was freaking out about it. So,
yeah,
you know, to put it in perspective, you know, a 15 pound goldfish compared to a 95 pound golden big head, I mean, kind of dwarfs it.
Yeah. I was reading through some of the comments on, I went back and found the Facebook post from the conservation department, and I was reading through all the comments. People were like, that's what happens when you flush your goldfish down the toilet. I mean, I don't know how many people put that. I mean, it's not a goldfish, guys. I wanted to go through and reply, like last night I was laying in bed, and then you had some gal trying to pick you up. Did you see that one? She was like, I don't really care about the fish, but I'm noticing what's in the background.
She capitalize on that?
No.
Call her up?
I didn't.
He looked her up on Tinder. He swiped right.
Oh, no. Yeah. And yeah. So in prior conversations with Chase, and we were talking about, you know, your guys' luck and success. And so you and your brother, you're single.
Yep.
Hardworking dudes.
Yep.
And so you go fishing whenever you want.
Yeah, we fish. I mean, there's during the summer, we'll fish four nights a week probably or more.
Yeah.
And that's what helps our success is that's, I mean, we scout all the time and get ready for it.
Mm.
And then they tell me where they're going, so I don't go there sometimes.
That's a good guy to know.
Yeah. So you're a diesel mechanic.
Yeah, just a mechanic.
Mechanic, just yep. A mechanic. Okay, my God, get that right.
Don't mess that up.
That's right. So,
get the diesel mechanic.
Your mechanic and your brother's fiber optics, right?
Yep.
Something like that. So yeah, they get a lot of time on the water. No kids. That's the main thing.
No kids. No wives. No girlfriends.
That's why he said no to that chick.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't need a, you know, I don't need no anchor.
That's right. Oh gosh.
Literal and metaphorical.
Yep. So, what boat do you shoot out of right now?
2072 Express.
2072 Express. Trolling motor?
Yep, troller boat. We bought the whole year and a half ago, 2 years ago, and we built everything on it.
Gotcha. So you do, I'm asking these questions. I already know the answer. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Do you have a raised front deck or flush front deck? Or?
We've got a 14-inch raised deck.
Okay. LEDs, high pressure sodiums.
We shoot a tinted LED light.
Okay.
Off battery. So we can stay silent throughout the night.
Yep. I wouldn't know what that's like.
Hey, I like that.
Oh yeah.
Running off batteries. Yep. It's good stuff.
So raised front deck, 2072. Do you know what watt those LEDs are?
36 watt.
36 watt.
How many do you have?
10 of them.
10 of them?
Yep.
So that's not too hard on a battery then?
No. No. You know, when we pull up next to their boat, we've pulled up next to them in tournaments and talked, or just when we've been out, and coming from my boat to their boat, I'm just like, well, I asked you the other night, I said, how do you shoot fish off that boat? Because I just...
That's not a lot of light.
No, but... I
mean, it's enough.
Yeah, it's enough. It's just...
But they kill big fish, and I mean, there may be something to that that maybe it's not the trolling motor that's spooking the fish. Maybe it's the sun coming down the lake.
Mm.
And maybe they see their lights and they're just like, oh, maybe the moon came out from behind a cloud.
Yeah, we've had a lot of conversations about that, but that's probably true. I mean, the same fish have heard trolling motors, you know, their entire existence. You know, it's a normal sound on the lake. The generator, that's not normal.
No.
You know, this and obviously at 1 o'clock in the morning, you know, this big glowing ball coming at you, that's not That's not really normal either, unless there are aliens that we don't know about.
Hey, remember that lady that worked for me? I told you, Stockton right. Lake.
Yeah, that's true. That's where they come harvest the whatever, the brains.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard that. There's a lady that worked for me, said that aliens landed in Stockton Lake. She saw them. Yeah, it was interesting conversation. So, you got your boat, got your lights, your deck. What kind of bows you shoot? Or what kind of bow did you previously shoot? And then what are you shooting now?
I just used to shoot a bear hunting bow or a diamond hunting bow.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we've ever fished with. And then, like Chase said, I got lucky and won the Phoenix probably about a month and a half ago. And it's been a game changer. I'll never go back to hunting bow. I'll have to stick with a lever bow from now on.
Yeah, I know you. I think last year when we ran into you guys on a lake and you shot my bow once or twice and you were like, I just got to put it down or I'll have to buy one. And so that's awesome. Does it draw pretty good? I mean,
Yeah, it's probably the smoothest bow I've ever drawn back in my life.
Yeah. So you've got the Phoenix and you've got, is it the 50 to 60 pound model or is it?
50 to 70.
50 to 70.
Yep.
Ooh.
You got it cranked up to 70?
No, I just leave it set on 50.
Yeah.
Yep.
Awesome. And you got a bottle, a reel? What do you got on there?
I was shooting a Muzzy Spinner.
Muzzy Spinner? What kind of arrows are you liking?
We normally shoot the TNT 4 barbs.
Yeah. So that's a fixed 4 barb, right?
Yep. Fixed 4 barb. We normally get them all from Batson's Archery.
Yeah. And does the tip unscrew or do you super glue them on?
No, we super glue them all on.
Yeah, that's what I found with shooting the fixed 4 barbs is you got to just take the arrow off, bite the bullet, and take the arrow off. It doesn't take that much extra time.
No.
So you're looping through the back?
Yeah, tying to the back of the arrow and just unlooping every time we shoot something.
Yeah.
I don't want something spinning off.
I got you. I don't know that I've ever had one spin off. I've had them pull off, but I've never had one spin off.
You know what's happened to me before? This is kind of pro tip. Not really. But when I'm shooting a lot of gar, and if I shoot through them a lot, if I tie to the back, it'll actually grab that loop when it goes through, and it'll pull that loop up and unloop. I've had it happen 5 or 6 times. It doesn't break my loop or cut the line, but if you shoot through a gar, them scales are so tight, it'll grab that line and basically pull it up the back of the arrow and unloop it.
Hmm.
And I've pulled out a bunch of fish, or I've lost 5 or 6 arrows like that. So if we're on a lake where we're shooting a lot of gar, I'll actually go through the hole like you'd be tying to the back, but I go all the way to the front of the arrow and bring it back that way.
Okay. Yeah, so it's kind of the same if you run safety slides. That's what I'll do is I don't tie to the safety slide. I run a loop through. I run through both sides of the loop, and then I take it through the front, over the front, and then over the back, and then it just pulls tight. So if you are shooting a fixed, you can do the exact same thing, but you're still running a slide. So
it'd be sweet if someone made a quick detach safety slide. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. No.
All right. So we've kind of laid the foundation, and you've never seen the fish before. You've
nope.
Never, you know, had any encounter. Did you think it was going to be in that spot that you saw it?
No, I would have had no idea.
So you were just out?
So you didn't know, you hadn't been told where this fish was. You just heard rumors of it.
I've just heard rumors and never knew where.
Hmm.
Yeah. So that's what I was going to ask. If you went out, if when you go to this part of the lake, that it's a spot you always go to it will be now though, right?
Yeah, most likely. Yeah. That was honestly the first time that I'd ever been there.
I'm not going to lie. I know where it's at, and I think I've been there 10 or 12 times. Probably not even knowing
mm-hmm.
what's supposedly there, but now I'm going to pay a little bit more attention.
I've only fished Lake the Ozarks one time, and we didn't run a bunch of water because it's even at night, it's still so choppy. So we took out and moved. So we went from one creek on one side and then ran all the way over to PB2 and then, you know, did moved one more time. But yeah, I know nothing about that lake other than it's massive and you don't want to go during the day.
You know, it's not too bad. I mean, you guys shot it during, I guess, a couple Ironmans or other tournaments during the day. But, you know, you just got to stay You got to know where to put your boat in at, and you got to know where you can go and where you should probably stay.
Well, I guess I'm just saying don't run down the channel at noon on Labor Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it.
I wouldn't recommend that in any size boat.
Right. Yeah. It's unless you got a 30-footer.
Yeah. Not this guy.
Not yet, right?
Too short.
Next year. Well, this, why don't you just walk us through the story? Because I've never heard the actual story. And, you know, I've just seen the pictures. And, you know, obviously you don't have to tell us where it was or anything like that. But just, you know, the emotions in the whole nine yards. Everybody likes a good fish story. So that's kind of what this podcast is specifically about.
We went down one night just to, like Chase said, it was a couple nights before the Iron Man. Went down to, found some little random ramp to put in on, and we was actually getting ready to leave and go find a different ramp. And we just decided to go ahead and put in because the next ramp was like 45 minutes away. Mm-hmm. So we just started running some bank and actually went out in the middle, looked for some floating gar or something, and come back into bank. And as soon as we come back into the bank, the guy that was with me went to freaking out. And then I looked down and realized what was swimming under me. And he actually shot at it first and missed, thankfully. But I shot it, and then the fight was on from there.
So had you shot any fish prior to this, or did you just literally put the boat in?
We'd probably fished for, I don't know, 30, 45 minutes, maybe an hour before we shot it. Shot a few small buffalo. Shot a couple decent buffalo, trying to let them lie for the Iron Man. But
trying to thin out what I was going to shoot, weren't you?
Yeah, we was trying to slow him down a little bit so he couldn't find them all.
They're all right here.
That's right.
Droves of them.
So anyway, he missed it. You put an arrow in it.
I got one in it, and then the fight was on. It drug us around a little bit. I was expecting more of a fight out of a fish that size. I didn't realize it was that big when I first shot it. I knew it was big, but we shot it, and he chased it around for a little while. I was hanging on to it trying to get another arrow in it. We finally got another arrow in it, and took us forever to get it drug over to the boat. And I went to pull it in the boat and couldn't get it in the boat. So we both had to grab it and pull it in there. And then that's when it kind of set in that how big it was.
Right.
And at the time, I didn't have a certified scale to weigh it. So I didn't know, the biggest scale I had went up to 50.
Maxed her out.
Yeah. And it instantly maxed it. So I was kind of a...
Did you pack her up and head home right then?
No, we actually, we threw it in the cooler and fished for a couple more hours, for a few more hours trying to find some more fish. And then left and come home, and on the way home stopped and got some ice and everything and covered it in ice and water, trying to help it hold some of its weight, and got home, finally got to the conservation at about 11:30 or so the next day.
So what time did you shoot it? Do you know around?
It was probably 10:30 when I shot it.
So basically it'd been out of the water 12 hours when you got it weighed. Yep. So it could have been somewhat heavier for sure.
Yeah, I would say it would have, especially the way big heads are.
So, okay, this is what's interesting to me. So, like, how long did you have to fight that thing? Or, how long was the struggle? I remember I've shot fish, you know, 40, 50-pound fish. And, you know, if you're not prepared for that, or you've never done that before, and, you know, adrenaline's running, and you're kind of freaking out, and everybody's probably in the boats freaking out at this point. So, how did that play out? I mean, was it just like, you know, you make it sound so like, oh, yeah, matter of fact. But you had to be, like, losing your mind.
Did you get
a backup
arrow in it, or was it?
Oh, I was completely losing my mind once I shot it. I mean, we finally got another. It took us a few minutes to get another arrow in it, and I was a little freaked out till we got the other arrow in it. And honestly, we fought with it for probably 10 minutes or so trying to get it to the boat, but not like I was expecting a lot more of a fight than what it gave.
You know, he was old. That fish was old. He
86, made, is that what we said?
Yeah, and a half.
He was so big that he didn't have the speed like a, you know, a 40 or 50-pound grassy. He didn't have quite the speed, but when he went to pulling, it was all I had to keep a hold of him and stay in the boat.
Did you think I'm going to wrap my boat, or I'm going to like anchor my bow down or something? Did you do anything, or just was just holding on?
I wrapped the line around my hand a few times and just hung on for dear life.
You were going swimming if he pulled your bow out. So
I was going with him if he went to pulling hard enough.
I mean, so that thing had to be like pulling up a 55-gallon drum.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Just, yeah. Pulling up a truck tire from the bottom of the lake. So how long was it?
It was probably, I think it was 48 inches long or something right around that.
Huge.
It's about probably 48 inches long and 48 inches around, too.
Yeah, I mean, it was almost as big around as it was long.
Hmm.
That thing is a giant.
Did I ask on the podcast if he was going to mount it?
Yes, you did.
Okay, good.
Yes.
So, cool. That's covered. Where are you going to put that thing?
I don't know yet. I ain't really decided. Probably right above my mantle.
You're going to build a house around it.
Almost have to.
I'd put it above my bed.
Yeah. I thought about that.
That'd be funny.
I've been given a no animal policy upstairs in my house.
A no upstairs. Yeah.
Yeah. I got my downstairs. Got a couple deer heads, but if I killed that fish, I might sneak it in somewhere.
Yeah. It's right, like hanging above your kitchen island.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool.
Suspended.
Honey, this is going to be a classy mount.
Yeah, with an arrow in it and like line going up into the ceiling.
Like some fake blood kind of dripping.
Yeah.
Hang it from the line and hang a couple lights from it.
Yeah. Be golden.
Man, it would be.
You could just turn it up and open its mouth and put a big old light in it. I mean, way off topic here.
No. This is what makes the magic happen.
I guess so.
We're socially awkward and we're sorry. So,
yes.
Yeah, moving on. So, it weighed 95 and a half pounds. So it is a what records does it now hold?
It's a BAA world and a BAA Missouri state record.
For Big Head. And it's not Missouri Department of Conservation record. What's the record fish?
I want to say it's like 102 or 103.
Okay. So realistically, it could have weighed over that.
It was probably close to it, probably I would say. Close.
Yeah. And that fish was snagged.
Yep.
Were they actually snagging for Big Head, or was it a...
Spoonbill.
Spoonbill. Yep. And they just caught that dude. So how wild would that be?
That'd be crazy.
Hmm. Well, so the other fish...
Blackie.
So now that this is kind of out, that people know... And I mean, obviously I had no idea about this. So social media-wise, I remember I had that day. So I had a salesman... I had another pro staff. I had two pro staff bass fishermen and some random person on the internet forward them to me. Some Facebook friend. I don't say random person. So I had like four people be like, hey, did you see this? It's like, yes. So there's a lot of people now that know about that fish, obviously. And now there's a lot of people that know about the brother, boyfriend, the Blackie, whatever, that's bigger. So do you think there's going to be a lot of folks maybe chasing that this year?
I think there'll be a few. But
are you going to chase it?
I'll probably chase it some, just knowing where it's at, kind of. But it may not be there anymore.
I mean, there's only five or six people that know where that's at, I think.
Yeah, there's
but now 10. We know where what lake it is, at least. That's narrowed
down.
Yeah,
but...
Maybe not.
There's a lot of lake there to try and find that one spot.
Oh, no, I understand.
I've shot that area of the lake a lot, and I didn't have any idea until I was told where it was at. I mean, hopefully it's still there.
Yeah. Well, I'm going, so. No, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't find it, so. Well, that's killer. So.
Who all has seen, or do you know who all has seen the blackfish?
As far as I know, the Batsons and the Sailors are all that's ever seen the black one.
Yeah. Be a little less noticeable, probably.
Yeah.
A big gold blob swim, 95 pound.
Yeah, for sure.
Gold blob swimming around out there.
Was it just glowing in the lights immediately, or did you just...
Oh, yeah, instantly.
Yeah.
I mean,
was it deep?
No, it was actually fairly close to the top.
Hmm.
Was it up feeding, lipping, or was it actually, like, towards the back, or was it...
It was right in the middle of the cut from front to back. I mean, it was coming off a little bluffy bank, honestly.
Hmm.
Where I didn't expect to see something like that at.
Right.
That's how it always is. I saw the biggest grassy I've ever seen in my life laying on a bluff shelf in about 8 foot of water. And I couldn't, it was so deep I couldn't get to it. But I swear this thing was 6 foot long. I mean, it was, and I'd only been bow fishing 2 years, but I still swear it's the biggest fish I've ever seen in the water.
That's exactly how I saw are the biggest fish we'd ever seen. I say the biggest fish, I think. This was 2 years ago when the lake was way up, you know, in the 928, 930 range. So I was cruising in this spot that we fish quite often, and I just had some guys in the boat that, you know, we were fishing, but we weren't, no preparing for a tournament or anything like that, and it wasn't a tournament. But the lake was way up, and it was late in the summer. It was like July, August, which typically we haven't had a lot of success in that exact spot, but it was close to home. So we were going over the tops of these bushes that were always, you know, 6-8 feet up the bank, typically. Mm-hmm. So with the water being up 10 feet. So we're cruising through this, you know, this kind of brush pile, basically, and ice. There's just a little, probably a 4 foot wide gap, and I was like, I'm just going to push through this just to get to the other side. Well, I start kind of plowing through it, and there is an eruption in the bush that we're going right through, and I saw its tail, and my brother wasn't with us, so I just had a bunch of other guys that had never been out before, and they just lost their minds. I mean, this tail, I mean, I'm not kidding. It was like a foot wide. I mean, I'm not, I don't want to embellish or anything like that, but I saw its tail and I saw its head, and the bush was like 5 feet wide, and I saw its tail on one end and its head on the other. I mean, it was just a massive grass carp. I mean, probably like a, you know, 60 yeah. pound fish, but still, we'd never even seen a grass carp at this point. This was right, this was 2 years ago, right when we were just getting started. So I just remember just freaking out. We went back to that spot like the next three nights in a row and never saw anything again. Like drove through the same bush the same way, you know. But I just know from seeing that, you know, the adrenaline that goes through your, you know, system to actually seeing one bigger than that and shooting it, I mean, had to be I'd be melting down, nuclear meltdown.
You know, we're hoping to take his big fish from being 95 pounds to that mid 100 pound range in the next, what is it, 1st April, James?
April 5th through the 8th, I think.
Yeah, we're heading down to Venice, Louisiana.
Ooh.
End of the world. Going to go down there, shoot some redfish, gator gar, basically anything you can find.
Because there's a plethora of fish you can shoot.
Oh, there, yeah. Right? Yeah, I had a guy send me a list so I knew what I could shoot and what I couldn't. And there's... On the game fish, I mean, it's the same as regular fishing. There's, you know, size limits, you know, and possession limits mm-hmm. on different kinds of fish. But I think you can shoot redfish, speckled trout, black drum, gator gar. And that's all I think we're really worried about. I think the gator, all the fish you can eat, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And, so, yeah, we're going to come back 10 pounds heavier from frying all the fish. And
sounds like a good trip.
Oh, yeah. Yep. You were invited.
I know. I've got a wife that's due with a baby in 4 weeks, so probably shouldn't go on a 12-hour road trip to go fishing 2 weeks before my son's due.
Well, I mean.
You got 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I know. Where are my priorities?
That's, I was going to say, you know. You're never going to shoot a 95-pound fish with priorities like that.
I know it. I'm just not committed enough.
Oh.
So you guys are just going down there, just dragging your boat, just kind of try to figure it out for the first time?
Yeah.
You going to take a guide or anything?
No, we looked into it and just decided that we're going to be down there, what, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, 4 nights. If I can't figure it out in 4 nights, there's something really wrong with me.
Well, we know that anyway, so
yeah.
Don't expect to have a good time. It's probably going to suck.
James. Oh, we'll have both boats down there.
Yeah, oh, you're taking both boats?
Yeah, he's taking... Yeah.
So clearly, I mean, if it was me going with you, I'd ride on the Scroggins boat myself, because he's got the lucky horseshoe.
Yeah.
They're going to drag out like a 300-pound gator gar.
I'm going to steal it, put it in my boat, and I'm going to pull his plugs as he leaves.
He's probably got 3 extras, or, you know, he's prepared.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Did you want me to talk?
Yeah. Well, this has been a fun podcast, you know, learning about a massive cult-like fish that had a little bit of a following prior to it, kind of the Loch Ness of the bow fishing community.
Yeah, the Loch Ness of Lake of the Ozarks.
That's right. The Goldberg. Yeah. We'll share the social media link and the picture on the on the podcast page, and you guys need to check this thing out. It's pretty wild. If anybody's listening to this, you probably saw it on social media when it came out. But for those of you, maybe we've got a few listeners from, like, I've got a guy that listens to us from like South Dakota, so maybe he didn't see it.
There was a Canada on there too.
Canada, on YouTube, yeah. We are international, folks.
That's right.
Boat fishing podcast, international. I like it. So,
so we've got a couple of tournaments coming up. We're pretty excited about.
Oh yeah,
Muzzy is coming up. U.S. Open,
mm-hmm. The one I almost forgot to register for.
Yep. And the Bats and Archery shoots. Those will be coming up before we know it. They've got
those are fun.
Four tournaments. It's always good to go to those. And
is it four? And then the Ironman, or is it just four total?
Four
with the Ironman.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those are mostly, what lakes are those on?
Two on Truman and LOZ, then you go to Palmy for one, and then back for the Ironman at Truman and Lake of the Ozarks.
Cool.
Yep.
The lakes I know nothing about.
Yeah, you know, I didn't either for a while. I still really don't, but
it's still fun.
Yeah.
You donate money to a good cause. Probably Scroggins.
We normally get like a big buff side pot, and we normally win that, so that always pays back our entry fee.
That's cool. Well, man, I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thanks for having me on here.
Check out James at Midwest Bow Fishing on Facebook. And check us out at Rough Fish Registry on Facebook, Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And
roughfishregistry.com. You can download these episodes. You can listen to them on the website. You can listen to them on iTunes. A couple different avenues to get the content. So shoot us some emails, messages, any kind of feedback is greatly appreciated. So
yeah, if you've killed a giant fish, let us know. We'll try to get you on. And
I know that listening to hunting podcasts, the big bucks or the big elk or, you know, those kind of stories are always the fun ones to listen to. They always kind of captivate you more than just like, hey, this week's episode sponsored by Yeti Coolers. We're going to talk about cooler management.
Yeah.
We skip those. So
yeah, I don't listen to those either.
Yeah.
James was in Texas last weekend.
Last weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
200
right.
200 and some, 50-some pounds.
Was it Toledo Bend?
Gator gar off Toledo Bend. He got to see that fish.
Yeah, I went down for the Toledo Bend Classic. They weighed in a 258.
That's right.
And a 222. They were giants. The 258 actually broke the Toledo Bend state or lake record.
Mm. 258.
I saw him pulling out of the boat on Facebook.
They were using like a hoist.
Yeah, like a backhoe or something.
Used a traco to pick them both up.
Yeah. That's when you're up the next level. It's like, oh, let me get my backhoe to pull these fish out of my boat.
That's when you get beside the boat and you're like, I don't know what to do.
Like, oh, yeah. I mean,
I guess you got to shoot it in the head with a pistol and start trying to drag it in the boat. I wouldn't even have a spot on my boat to put that thing.
I'd find a way.
Yeah.
I'd ride it home. Lasso it up. Let's go.
On that, we're getting out of here. We'll talk to you later, guys.
See ya.
See ya.